Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the Huffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube if you'd like as well at the Team 980. We have been told that we can get some audio from Ashburn. So if you want to hear from Dan Quinn, we'll get you some cuts later on in the show, 6 o'clock. Coming up at 5:30, we will go through the entirety of the roster to break down all of the positions, or position by position, what was decided today. Although, as we've told you all day long, what's decided today isn't necessarily what's going to be true by tomorrow. But it is 5 o'clock. We have our own announcement to make, and it's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Today, it is our pleasure to welcome our pal Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast. Of course, co-hosted with J.P. Finley. Mitchell, how are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well, and I am very excited that because we only pick our regularly appearing guest by mnemonic literary devices, that we are going to do this all year long. People already know that we have Mondays with Michael, Phillips, and now, Mitch, we're going to do Tischler Tuesdays.
Get the air horns ready. Let's go.
Yeah, Anthony, why don't we have air horns ready? What are we doing? Why do we not have air horns?
Not right now.
Not right now. No. Mitch, I'm so sorry. We don't have air horns. What we do have on my very silly board is you. Did you ever hear the story or remember the story of that F-35 that got lost last year?
Yeah.
And there was that viral interview with the guy who made the noise of what he thought the airplane sounded like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have that.
That was.
So that's not an air horn, but that's kind of what we got.
You know what? That works for me.
Excellent.
What about a trumpet?
A trumpet, Anthony? We're not racing. He's coming on to talk football.
Yeah, but Anthony knows I'm a degenerate.
That's why I asked.
What was that, Mitch?
Anthony knows I'm a degenerate gambler, so I'm good with it.
That's your all right. We're off to the races. All right, Mitch is going to join us on Tuesdays all season long. We're really pumped about it. We're going to be able to talk about the game. I always love Tuesdays, Mitch, because you kind of get that chance to decompress on Monday. Maybe you get a little more context, start watching the film. But today, sir, we are reacting to the breaking news of the 53-man roster being named. Any, for you, major surprises, shocks, things that you're really happy that happened? Like, what's the biggest storyline or headline out of this initial 53 for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the two biggest surprises to me are Colton Yankoff making the roster. This coaching staff obviously wants these tight ends to be able to block and do a couple different things. He's a guy that kind of might be a Ben Sennett light type player where he can line up at tight end, but also can line up in the backfield and, you know, be kind of that fullback, type chess piece. And then, you know, some of those cuts were a little surprising. to me, I would have liked to have seen Ricky Stromberg on this roster. I think that, you know, I don't know that you're really going to get a ton out of Trent Scott. I haven't been particularly impressed what I've seen out of him at tackle. I kind of thought Chris Paul would be your kind of fourth tackle slash guard piece, and then you could allow Stromberg to develop as a center, which last year he should have done but wasn't given the opportunity to. I think he'll be a NFL player here. I'm a little disappointed he's not here.
Yeah, he's one that I was like, man, he was a third-round pick last year. If you can find a way to keep him, it feels like someone else would probably pick him up. And at this point, if you're him, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna go somewhere else. But just never really the same after the injury. I also wonder, Mitch, like with that number two waiver claim, do you think O-line would be your number one target? Or are you going corner, wide receiver, some other position for any number of reasons?
Yeah, I think them keeping six wide receivers kind of tells you that they're probably going to be looking in that direction. I think they're going to be looking at some of these veteran tackles that get released, which kind of we've been talking about since the beginning. I think there's a chance that while Colson Yankoff is a good story, he might be a short-term roster guy that then gets, you know, dropped down to practice squad, and maybe they play that game with him a little bit. They might have been a little concerned. I think DB certainly is somewhere where you've got to look at what comes on the open market. I mean, they only kept five corners. I think, you know, maybe the same kind of thing could be talked about possibly with maybe Percy Butler or somebody, that safety group kind of making that, you know, up and down change. Dominic Hampton making that linebacker along with Michael Walker was a little surprising to me. I think part of that was because of a Jordan McGee move to IR. But all in all, I think that this 53 is interesting because it can tell you a lot about how the coaches are looking at things. But I think a lot of things are going to change in the next 24 to 36 hours.
Yeah, for sure. Mitch Tischler is with us. Of course, Beltway Football. Check out the podcast, him and JP, wherever you get yours. I don't want to spend too much time just like going back and battering Rivera, although, God, it could be fun on a day like today. But if we look realistically at the fact that 2023 is all but a lost draft class, Wino counted it up. There's only 12 players here that he drafted in the 4 years. What kind of challenge does that present in terms of trying to build a winner moving forward? So, you know, not trying to ask is just to be like, man, he sucked at this. Yep, we got it. Cool. He sucked at this. What does it actually mean for Adam Peters trying to dig out of that hole?
Yeah, I mean, I think it means exactly that. They're digging out of a hole. You know, across the board with Ron's draft, I don't think we have to go back and adjudicate it, but you can look at players who you thought they should have drafted. Christian Darrisaw, you know, Christian Gonzalez up in New England last year. I mean, a bunch of guys that, you know, have kind of been playing better than the player that the Commanders drafted. Listen, they're working out of a hole here, and I think you see it. You have a roster with, I think I counted it up, I think 34 of the 53 players are new from last year. So they're resetting the tone here, and I think as you talk about expectations for this season, all of that has to play into it. You have to recognize that it's not just a new front office. It's not just a new coaching staff. For the most part, it's a whole brand new roster. And I think, you know, some of the guys that they decided to keep were interesting and kind of point you in that direction. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, I think, is a player that kind of points to that. KJ Henry is probably a higher floor than that player, but also a lower ceiling. And he wouldn't have gotten a ton of run on this roster. So by keeping Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who may have a little bit of a higher ceiling, you're giving a guy time to develop, and you're kind of looking long-term instead of just trying to win, you know, right now. And I think the same can be said about the Martavis Bryant cut.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think this ultimately tells us about Adam Peters and the way that he wants to team build?
You know, it's going to sound maybe harsh or weird for some Commanders fans to hear it, but, like, this is how NFL rosters work. Like, you don't get a roster spot just because you were drafted in a particular spot. You get a roster spot because you earned it and you've played your way onto it. And, you know, obviously when regimes change, what the coaches are looking for also changes. So that plays a part into the number of changes that we've seen here. But I also think it's them kind of putting their foot down. And it started with the Jahan Dotson trade. And I think you look at all these, you know, draft picks from last year that were cut or moved on from, and it tells you that, you know, they want to create this competition world. They want players who are going to play the game their way. And it's kind of one of those things, you're either with us or you're gone.
At quarterback, they keep three. How much of that do you think has to do with kind of the keeping the room the same for Jaden, Marcus's injury, Driscoll just largely playing well the last 6 months? Like, what do you think goes into them deciding that it's worth it to keep a third guy?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit of a unpopular thought here in that I think Jeff Driscoll, though he didn't play particularly well in the preseason, so maybe that takes it back a step. But I think, you know, obviously they want Jaden to start every game this season. And I think, to me, if Jaden, for some reason Jaden gets hurt or whatever happens and they have to go with someone long-term, I think Driscoll's the better kind of multi-game starter option than Marcus Mariota is, because I think he can operate this offense a little bit better than Marcus Mariota can. I think, you know, in a pinch, Mariota is great to step in game with a, you know, an injury or whatever may happen to replace Jaden. But I think long-term, I like Driscoll a little bit better than Mariota to operate this thing. I think in this day and age, you got to keep three quarterbacks. I mean, you know, you don't want to ever end up in a situation like obviously Sam Fran did. And quite frankly, if it's a player that you think is close to a, you know, close to being on a roster, he's probably going to get picked up by somebody else if you cut him. So I like the, you know, keeping the familiarity with Driscoll and, you know, going that direction.
Counterpoint. My brain may have been pickled too long doing sports talk radio, but counterpoint, Mitchell.
Please.
If Jaden Daniels were to miss extended time, I want them to tank their asses off. I want them to be terrible. I want them to be higher in the draft because I don't, like, realistically, this is a long-term project. And so if you're not going to be working on the most important part of the project, Jaden Daniels' development, I would like them to be as bad as possible, and I would like Sam Hartman to play if Jaden Daniels were to all of a sudden miss the last 6 weeks of the season. That's my counterpoint.
Let's be honest. If Jaden goes down, neither Marcus or Jeff Driscoll or Sam Hartman or Trace McSorley or QBX that you're going to pick up off the street is going to go in there and you know, be a world beater and win you a ton of football games. So if Jaden goes down the season, we know where the season is going anyway. And regardless of who's out there, they're not going to win a bunch of games. But Jeff Driscoll is going to complete more passes to your receivers. He's going to allow you to evaluate the rest of the roster. We've seen in other years bringing in backup QBs who don't allow you to evaluate a roster because they can't complete a pass. I don't know where Marcus Mariota sits in the pantheon of backup Commanders QBs, but I think Mariota would be difficult to continue the evaluation process if he ends up out there.
Fair point. And also, that is me. Anthony, is this wood, this table in here? It's covered in like a linoleum, but I think there's wood underneath.
Yeah.
Okay. That's me knocking on wood that nothing happens to Jaden Daniels, just so we're clear.
Right. I mean, listen, the whole roster is interesting. The most important thing this year is what happens with number five back there, quarterback. And I don't think anyone is, you know, anyone's confused by that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Mitch, I'm very excited to do this all year long. Really appreciate you agreeing to do this. And in that spirit, we will talk to you next Tuesday.
Absolutely, and if I can make a request, Anthony, let's get an air horn ready to go next week.
Yep, there we go. All right, Anthony, you on the air horn patrol over there?
Yes, I got you.
Okay, excellent. Mitchell, thank you for your knowledge, your insights, and your air horn requests.
I love it. I'm looking forward to it all year. Thanks,
excellent. Bud. See ya. That's Mitch Tischler, everybody. Tischler Tuesdays, they're coming. They're here. We just did it. Every week, he's going to join us for Not My Beat, breaking down the tape and all that stuff here on the Team 980. 5:30, we're going to roll through position by position, see how we did on our roster projection, and also, more importantly, give you some analysis based off of each position group. But we'll continue to roll around some of the big cuts and big news items in the rest of the NFL next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Let's get you caught up with some of the big news items around the NFL before we dive back into the Commanders roster at 5:30. And Anthony, I will say, we also need to discuss, whether we do it today or tomorrow, we must discuss Keith Lee's trip to the DMV.
Oh, imperative. Because I'm here to stand up for my city, man.
Yeah, I also would like to stand up for the food scene of the DMV. Because it has not been a good week on TikTok for said food scene. But we'll get to that later on. Perhaps an hour from now. I might just scrap what we had at 6:30 and we might just have to get into it. Because I don't know if I can wait till tomorrow.
Okay.
Also, I'm going to be hungry, so I'll be irritable. Which is some people's favorite version of me on the radio when they don't have to deal with me in person. Anyway, the point is there's a ton of stuff that happened around the NFL today because, well, it was cut day for everybody. 32 teams cut down to 53,000 different players now. Wait to see what their future is. Some do get clarity, though, not just the, hey, you're on the team type, because even then, for guys that are on the bubble, they could wind up off the team tomorrow and in the free agent pool. But the a couple guys get, you know, the pup treatment, etc. And Odell Beckham Jr. is probably the biggest name to have that go down. Odell Beckham Jr. signed at Miami in the offseason. He had an offseason procedure. They knew all about all this. They were cool with it. They're taking a long-term vision on it. And so he's going to start the season on pup, Anthony, which is going to be pretty interesting. Tua Tagovailoa, I saw speaking today and said, like, he loves OBJ off the field. They have a great relationship and a great rapport, but they have zero on-field chemistry because he hasn't practiced yet. So how does he integrate in the middle of the season, yet it's exactly what he did with the Rams and they won a Super Bowl. So I'm pretty intrigued to see what happens with OBJ this year and when does he come back and how effective is he at this stage in his career in that offense down in Miami with Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah, the good thing, I guess, about the whole situation is, you know, he's not the number one. He's more so wide receiver number three. So it's not that much pressure. But again, you know, building that continuity with your quarterback is, you know, extremely important. So I think, you know, after the first 4 weeks, and that's typically when, you know, the Dolphins offense is like rolling though. Like they begin the season fast all the time. So, you know, he wants to get in before they start to get, you know, into the wee or the late part of the season. To
be yeah. And can they prevent them from declining later on in the season?
Yeah, that's
something
too.
Mike McDaniel's got to work out. Something obviously that we're watching here with Cliff Kingsbury as well has had some of those issues in the long term. Cleveland Browns made headlines today. They had a competition for the number three quarterback, Anthony, and then didn't pick a winner. They have four quarterbacks on their official 53-man roster. Tyler Huntley, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jameis Winston, and then obviously Deshaun Watson. So Kevin Stefanski was like, we have four good quarterbacks, and he kept them all. And he hasn't committed to Winston for being number two. So really any of these guys could be gone. And I think that's probably what they're looking at is like they don't want to cut, say, Thompson Robinson, and then they get a good trade offer for Jameis Winston to be a backup somewhere, and they're like, well, yeah, well, we're comfortable with Huntley and Thompson Robinson as the backups, so let's make sure that we don't cut anybody yet. So this is just, like, there's no way that by next Wednesday they have four quarterbacks on the roster, but they do for right now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, you see a lot of teams out here holding on to players just to, you know, be able to, you know, trade them. So I think it makes sense. And if they feel as though, you know, they can get some draft capital, because I don't think they have a lot.
I think they're finally starting to get back to normal, but
yeah,
man.
But they had traded so much of it away. I think that's more, it makes sense if I'm them.
For sure. All right. Some of the other big moves around the league, Allen Robinson cut from, as was Isaiah Hodgins,
yep,
from the Giants. And Hodgins is a guy that had a pretty, if I'm remembering correctly, pretty decent day against the Commanders last year. I think I'm the right guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Allen Robinson was considered one of the better wide receivers in football, like top 10 receiver like 4 years ago. And just shows you, sometimes it goes downhill and goes downhill quickly. The Giants also make some headlines because they keep Tommy DeVito, Anthony.
Oh, they kept DeVito?
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty dope. Hodgins is surprising, though. Hodgins is very surprising just because of the season he had last year. Everybody hurt. I mean, I guess, you know, somebody does have to, you know, catch the ball and make plays. But it's just surprising, you know, he was in the system last year with Brian Daboll, one of the lead wide receivers on their team.
For sure. And, I mean, he had 100 yards and a touchdown in that playoff win over the Vikings 2 years ago. So, like, he's played in big-time games. He was the guy that Daboll had in Buffalo. They brought him down. So, like, he's a Daboll, Joe Shane guy. And just for whatever reason now, you know, with neighbors there, with some of the other firepower they have, he's no more room for him. He had 8 total touchdowns in his 2 seasons with the Giants, which is more than the 7 that Jahan Dotson had. And the entire world freaked out when, not the entire world, lots of Commanders fans freaked out.
Yeah.
Because, Jahan, 7 touchdowns. Like, yeah, it's a lot. But actually, no, I think Jahan had 7 in the 1 season. So fair enough. He had 11, I believe, throughout the 2 years, 7 and a 4. But still, like, Hodgins had 8. He's a guy that I'm interested in. I don't know that you have to put a waiver claim in, but he's certainly a guy that I might be like, hey, want to come try to beat up on your former team? He's only 25 years old. Kind of interested.
Yeah.
Anybody else from around the league that caught your eye, Anthony?
It caught my eye. I saw some names earlier. Not off the top of my head right now.
Okay. Biggest move probably for the Eagles. James Bradberry was on the block. He wind up staying. So him and Darius Slay, both still on the roster, even though they drafted Kenyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So that's definitely a veteran name that could become available. James Bradberry. The Cowboys today trading Peyton Hendershot, their 4th tight end, or their backup tight end, to Kansas City. So that's... that's there. A.J. Dillon placed on IR in Green Bay.
Yeah, I saw that. Season ending.
Yeah, season ending IR. So that's tough. That's tough. Got the stinger. And that's after the offseason where, of course, they move on from Aaron Jones because they signed Josh Jacobs. And the thought was that he and A.J. Dillon would be good. But now they'll rely on Marshawn Lloyd, their rookie, along with Emmanuel Wilson. Packers also, by the way, traded last night for Malik Willis, the former Titans quarterback. Didn't really go great for him. Falcons kept Taylor Heinicke rather than releasing or trading him. That was a bit of a surprise after, obviously, the Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix signings. Carolina releases former second-round pick Terrence Marshall Jr. He's another big body wide receiver to watch. The former second round pick. Saints cut veteran safety Jonathan Abram, been battling for a starting spot, and he not only doesn't get the starting spot, but gets released from the Saints. Obviously, we talked about the 4 quarterbacks of the Browns. Any other big moves that we want to note as I scroll through here? That's pretty much it. They cut, the Raiders cut Nathan Peterman. There's a veteran backup quarterback that's becomes available. Also, you know who else got cut in Vegas? Dax Milne.
Ooh.
Mm. Mm.
Oh, do you know who else got cut today?
Jalen Guyton got cut by the Raiders. That's a vet receiver to watch.
Bobby McCain got cut also.
Man, if Ron Rivera thought you were good once, today was a bad day for you.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but like, it just is.
Got cut by the Vikes.
Yeah.
And then Samson Nacua, he got cut by the Saints.
We should have
returned over the weekend.
I did. He should have finished that, and maybe he would have made the team.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's also a couple kickers cut today. We'll see what the Commanders do there. The Patriots had two in camp. Joey Sly, despite the fact that the best former Commander that had a day today was Joey Sly.
He made the team.
He made the team, despite the fact that he missed 260 yarders at the newly named Northwest Field on Sunday. We'll talk about that story tomorrow.
Did the Titans kicker get released?
I don't know. Let's see if Tennessee's cuts are up on the cut tracker. They are not. I don't know. But Cade York right now, he's got the job. Congratulations to Cade York. All right, let's go inside the Commanders roster next. How do we do on our projection, and why do we think that some of the maybe surprise cuts were made? We'll dive in next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, I need to go on a rant real quick before we get into the roster breakdown.
All right, hit me.
Here's the rant. I just was, I went to a refill my water bottle in the break, and one of the local news stations was on. It was just Fox 5, and they did an Insta poll to see if Commanders fans liked the new name of the stadium. A whopping 86% said no, to which I said, duh, because Northwest Stadium is objectively not a very cool name. Framing it that way on the news is stupid, because who cares? Who cares what the name of the stadium is? Name of the franchise? Okay, I'll give you that. Yes, Commanders, not the Go Commander. It's a mouthful. We got it. It shortens to commies. There's not anything cool you can do with it. I get all that. Here's what happens when you go to a stadium. You hope it's nice. You hope it's a good place to watch a game. And part of the reason that it's going to be nice is because the owner got to make a bunch of money off selling the name to a gigantic corporation. This is capitalism. This is America. Is it perfect? Nope. But that's how it works here. So, yes, Northwest Field in the northwest of nothing doesn't make any sense. It's not north. It's not west. It's kind of West Maryland, I guess. Relative to that part of the strip of the state next to D.C. It's not certainly Northwest D.C. It's not close to Northwest D.C. It's not close to the Northwest part of the country. It's the name of a federal credit union. They wanted to spend a bunch of money to have their name on it. That's what happens. Hopefully they continue to do a bunch of upgrades. And also Northwest Federal Credit Union probably gets to sponsor the new stadium. They have some kind of option for that. And if that's the case and it helps get a nicer new stadium, then sweet. It's less money that ultimately will come out of consumers' pockets, unless maybe you're paying heightened fees at Northwest Federal Credit Union because somehow in America everything goes back onto the customer. But yeah, like, of all the things to get worked up about, this ain't one of them. And guess what? Because like GEHA, I think, pays for Arrowhead. Out in Kansas City. You know what people call it? Arrowhead. This one will forever just be that place in Landover. Although I do kind of like J.P. Finley's abbreviation. Anthony, I say we call it the Fed.
The Fed.
It's better than anything else that it's been.
I like it.
Better than FedEx Field.
It's short. It's simple.
The Fed.
To the point.
Yeah. Northwest Federal Credit Union.
The Fed. Okay.
Better than Northwest Stadium.
I think that tracks.
All right. Capiche?
Capiche.
That's my guy. It's one of those, if you know, you know. Okay. Now that I've done my rant and said how silly news polls are, let's get to something far more serious. Something far, far, far more scientific. Roster projections. Anthony, let's see how we did on our roster projection. I actually think we did pretty darn well, as the Commanders have named their initial 53. We pretty much knew we wouldn't get it 100% correct. because we didn't know exactly injury statuses on a couple of guys, et cetera. But we actually did pretty darn well, all things considered. One area that we missed, we thought they would just keep two quarterbacks. We had Daniels and Mariota. If you're just tuning in, they've kept three. Jeff Driscoll also makes the roster for Washington. We'll see which position it was that we messed up later on and kept too many. Anthony, you might know off the top of your head, but I don't remember what it is. So running back Robinson, Eckler, McNichols, got that right. Man, I'm so bummed that we're not perfect at tight end. Ertz, Sinnott, Bates, Colson Yankoff, he made it. We decided that Cole Turner was the guy that was going to make it. I kind of really wanted to go Yankoff. I wish I'd fought harder for it. And I get why. He's been better on special teams. He's been one of their top special teams guys. And I think he just offers more versatility at the tight end position. And Turner wasn't reliable. And so, unfortunately, if your good practice play doesn't turn into good gameplay and you commit penalties and you have some drops, that's going to kill your chances of making the roster. And while I do think every single year we wind up putting way too much stock into the final preseason game, because it's mostly guys that aren't going to make rosters playing against guys who mostly aren't going to make rosters, that was kind of the final nail in Cole Turner's roster coffin, if you will.
How much of Colson Yankoff, Javonte Jean-Baptiste being, you know, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn draft picks do you think factored into the decision on whether or not to, you know, keep or not keep Cole Turner, not keep Henry, just because if there's not a huge gap between the two, why not go with the guy we scouted and did our due diligence?
Well, and also they brought him in for a reason, right? Like the upside's there, you know, Yankoff's a kind of freakish type of athlete, like really, really raw. And so it's like, well, Cole Turner's been here for 2 years. Contractually, like the UDFA is cheaper than the young veteran. And not that they need cap space, but you also have a guy that you feel like you can develop, and the upside's higher. Like, you've already got a couple of years of, or in Cole Turner's case, and or I guess this was year two, KJ Henry, you saw some of what he was last year, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste has a higher upside. So why not swing bigger? And so, again, it's not so much like a pride thing. It's on the substance. They brought these guys in for a reason. Tyler Owens, they brought him in for a reason. And when that reason is realized on the field, you tend to stick with those guys. And, you know, they probably wouldn't have drafted these other guys for reasons that became apparent on the field. With Henry, I'm not frankly sure what that reason is. I thought he played really hard. I thought he was productive. He's a great dude. Good leadership skills, all that kind of stuff. But for whatever reason, he's not their kind of guy, I guess. Or they would rather take the investment on someone who's got a higher upside. Receiver, we went 6 for 6. McLaurin, Brown, Zacchaeus, McCaffrey, Crowder, Pringle, done and done. We'll see if that holds, though, as they could be in the receiver market on the waiver wire, or you know, as other players get released around the league. At offensive line, Wiley, Cosme, Biotish, Allegretti, Coleman, Lucas, Paul, Dieter. We had Julian Good-Jones. They wind up going a different direction, Anthony, in Trent Scott. So they keep the extra tackle, which I think is pretty fascinating too, because like I would trust Chris Paul to tackle over Trent Scott right now. And if that's the case, why are you keeping Trent Scott? You need a fifth tackle versus another swing interior lineman, a guy who can play both guard spots at the very least. To me, that seems like a spot where they might go find someone. They might go find a guard and ultimately switch out Trent Scott, see if they can move him back to the practice squad and keep him around that way.
Yeah, it was a little surprising also not to see much of Trent Scott in the final.
Well, he was hurt. So,
yeah.
And that was one, too, where we actually had him on the short-term IR.
Oh, that's what it was.
So, you know, I guess it's not a total miss from us, but is what it is. So that's the offense. We'll run through the defense. Who made the 53, and how does it compare to what we thought would happen? Defense, there's actually more to talk about. Plus, Anthony, I'm going to end the break. I'm going to try to do a little math. I'm going to see percentage-wise how we did, not only from the 53 that we projected yesterday, but I'm going to go back to our first 53 and see how many we missed, just for kicks and giggles.
Oh, so, man.
Anthony and I with our first predictions on record of the season and how they went next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 6 o'clock, you'll hear some of what Dan Quinn had to say about the roster and what was done today. Right now, we're going through it all, position by position, give you a little analysis, give you some thoughts, and also review how we did in predicting how it all went down. On the D-line, after we've completed the offense here, on the D-line, John Allen, Daron Payne, Cleland Furl, Dorrance Armstrong, Johnny Newton, Dante Fowler, Fedarian Mathis, John Ridgeway, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and Jamin Davis. KJ Henry is the big name that gets cut there. Also, for whatever it's worth, Fowler listed as a linebacker. So it presents on the Commanders' official roster as four edge guys. So just Dorrance Armstrong, Furl, Jamin Davis listed as an edge, and Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And then five interior guys, Allen, Payne, Newton, who we now know will not go on IR, which is good. We'll see if he's ready for week one or it takes, you know, week two, week three. But Newton, Allen, Payne, and then for now, Fedarian Mathis and John Ridgeway, although Ridgeway has reportedly been in trade discussions with a couple of teams interested in his services and the Commanders potentially interested in parting ways with him or okay with parting ways with him, Anthony, which makes a lot of sense. I don't know that you need five interior guys. And I think the Phil versus Ridgeway discussion is interesting because they're different. Like, John Ridgeway is a big dude by any standard unless you're comparing him to Phil Mathis. Like, Fedarian Mathis is an enormous dude. And I think he gives them a little bit more flexibility. They can play him as a true nose if you wanted to get funky with some fronts. He can play the one tech, so he's lined up between the center and the guard, which is where Daron Payne normally plays. And he's shown a little bit more pass rush juice this camp, and especially the last couple weeks. And I think they've really appreciated how he, along with Emmanuel Forbes, have kind of refocused, rededicated through the second half of camp and have shown, like, hey, we're high-round picks for a reason. We've got a lot of talent. And while maybe you could argue that they were overdrafted by the previous regime, they're certainly really talented players, and it's just hard to give up on a guy that's that big, that talented, that twitched up for someone his size, and that's why I think Fedarian Mathis is ultimately the guy that definitely sticks around, and then we'll see if Ridgeway's here as well.
Yeah, Phil Mathis, the finals preseason game, that was the first time I've seen him consistently play well, and I think it's consistency out of him that I necessarily want to see. He made plays in the backfield, showed up in the box score. Those are things we haven't necessarily seen him do, and primarily because, you know, year one he was hurt, and then last year, you know, he was in and out of the lineup as well. So just consistency.
Yeah, that is the tough one with him, is he has been hurt a lot. And how much can you trust him? Why do we think they trust him now? Are they just crossing their fingers and hoping for the best? But we'll see what ultimately happens there. I think it's worth pointing out. I need to double check something real quick. But the Commanders also, placed the following players on reserve injured list. Narelle Pollard was kept on the reserve injured list. He's a guy that flashed at times, and I'm guessing he did not get the designation to return. And so while he certainly could be a long-term project for them, he had a nice spring, but he's probably done for the year. But the other guy is F.A. Obada, who's still floating around. They put him on PUP, so he started, you know, camp on PUP. He stays on PUP. That means after 4 weeks, he's eligible to come back. And, you know, this happened, was it last year with Obada? Did he start on PUP last year? Someone did, but I think it was all on the D-line. Or maybe Obada was the guy that got hurt last year that opened it up, but it was like, oh, who's this guy going to play for after four games? And sometimes these things sort themselves out. So if one of these guys goes down at either interior or on the exterior, on the edge, within the first couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden you got F.A. ready to go 4 weeks in. I don't know that he'll actually be ready, but he'll be eligible 4 weeks in. And so that's a nice reserve piece to have. And I think that probably on some level makes KJ Henry more expendable. Henry's a guy that lines up outside but can play that three technique as we saw in the final preseason game. F.A.'s done that a bunch. So you got him in reserve. And then I think, you know, who gets named to the practice squad is pretty fascinating at that position, because they've got some, you know, long rangy athlete types. They've got the Andre Jones Jr., the Jalen Harris's, and then, you know, I would assume that like Benning Patoe, et cetera, winds up back on the practice squad on the inside. And some of those guys have had really, really nice camps. And so if they wind up trading Ridgeway, and then, you know, you have those guys as depth pieces on the practice squad, and you protect them week after week, slash, you know, other teams aren't jumping to claim your guys week after week, I think you're in good shape there with some of the depth that they have, and then they hopefully will continue to build it in years to come. Anything else on the D-line?
No, I think you touched on everything.
Okay, that's my job, so just making sure that I didn't drop anything along the way. Linebacker, we already mentioned Dante Fowler, officially listed as a linebacker, but we know he's an edge. I don't know what's up with that. I mean, I guess he can drop back a little bit more in coverage than these other guys, but whatever. We got the four right. Wagner, Luvu, Walker, and Dominique Hampton, who's officially been switched, although he can still play some safety and probably will in a pinch if he has to, or they might just drop him out in like a junk coverage. Like, who knows? It's going to be really fun to watch Joey Jr. operate. But I think the big news here is that Jordan McGee goes to IR, designated for return. He can be back 4 weeks in, and then the question becomes, what do you do with that, you know, 4 weeks in? Like, who's the odd man out? Is someone like a Derek Forrest who's made it, if he's just done nothing but not really play, like, do you cut him? Is there another injury? Like, there's always another injury. So I think it's going to be fun to watch what happens there. But Walker is a guy who can back up, I think, Luvu or Wagner, and he'll ultimately be their depth at that position. But they're thin. But in a defense where they're going to use safeties down in the box a ton, I think this is proper roster construction to understand where they need the bodies. And linebacker, Anthony, they just don't need the bodies.
Yeah, and again, I feel as though having all the safeties that we do have, being able to use the three safety sets and things of that nature, I think that's really going to help us. And then also we have the guys that offer the linebacker safety versatility, guys that can play in the box, that can be physical.
Chin, Quan, yeah. Forrest, like, on down the list.
I think it makes sense. I'm not going to lie, Craig, it's sort of kind of like how I play in Madden. So I don't use that many linebackers in Madden. I use a lot of safeties, a lot of DBs, because I want the speed. I want playmakers on the field. And not to say you can't have those at linebacker, but I think you just have more versatility there.
I mean, it just depends, though, because if you get a week where a team starts running the ball down your throat, and, you know, sorry to bring that up for Dan Quinn's last game as Cowboys DC, but we all saw what happened against Green Bay last year. So there are teams that have been able to find exploitation of this scheme, but I think the hope is that DQ is a lot more solid up the middle now than he was last year in Dallas with Allen and Payne. So hopefully that is not something that can be done, but having that beef at linebacker would be nice. I think the other thing, though, is Dan has continued to say they'll flex Jamin back to linebacker if they absolutely need to. And so the built-in versatility of some of these guys, I think, does help you be a little thinner at that spot. And then last but not least, safety, Chin, Martin, Reeves, Butler, Owens, and Forrest. They all wind up making it. We had said we thought Tariq Castro Fields would be there. So the corners, I skipped those. Corners, we got right. Otherwise, it is Forbes, it is BSJ, it is Sainer Still, it is Michael Davis, and it is Noah Igbinogene. So we thought they might go the extra DB at corner. I still think there's a chance there. I still think that's a position to watch on the waiver wire. But Igbinogene can play inside, outside. I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see if Sainer Still winds up playing 100% of snaps, basically. Like, if there's two corners on the field, is he one of them? Or is it BSJ and Forbes on the outside? And then Davis is the logical third guy on the outside in case something happens to one of those two starters. But yeah, at safety, they kept them all. And I think the new kickoff rule, the way it is, like, having speed to cover kicks is really important. Having big physical hitters is important. And, you know, cutting a guy like Defoe, when that's a larger emphasis, and cutting a guy with that much experience who played pretty well a couple of years ago when he was healthy, I totally understand. Like, I think they kept the best player of the guys that were in that mix between Jagosi Anusium and Tariq Castro Fields at corner and then Defoe at safety. I know the position is what it is, but I think they kept the best player of those three that I think were battling for that spot.
Yeah, I love this group of safeties that we have. I think they all can play, to be honest. So looking forward to how they actually perform out there on the field.
For sure. And we know from DQ's years in Dallas that he definitely will use multiples.
Make the most of them.
Jayron Kearse, Donovan Wilson, Malik Hooker, like those guys all played together along with a bunch of other dudes for a bunch of top five defenses for DQ when he was down in Big D. All right, when we get back, speaking of DQ, you'll hear from the Commanders head coach next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.